The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If Josh just focused on doing a good radio show, he could be so money.
Yeah,
I don't get the shtick part of him. It's an odd deal.
There's this whole cottage industry out there of people who make headlines. Skip Bayless does it. Jason Whitlock does it. Stephen A. Smith does it. Clay Travis makes his whole career off making headlines. Josh does do a lot of that. I just don't think he necessarily does it for the right reasons.
I think it was maybe a bad call, bad timing.
Hey, I'm looking at one that I absolutely love on here. Rob Gronkowski receptions, minus 115. San Jose, Carolina total goals, minus 115.
Okay.
Gronk's got to get 6 or 7 catches, doesn't he?
Although if you thought that in the AFC Championship game, you would have been wrong.
Well, yeah, because he died.
He might die here.
No, he's not going to die here. He's going to go out there and have
a... Wouldn't you try to smack that dude in the head?
Of course I would. I'd go right for his head. That's what I would do.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, it's part of what you missed. A little talk about the radio row, as it were. And we did talk.
We
mixed
there.
In a little sports there. We talked a little gambling. And then we got into music and sex dolls.
And every once in a while.
Yeah, and welcome in our listeners on 94.1. Really sorry you missed all that. It's been a fun first 2 hours. You might want to go back and check out the podcast later because it's worth it. Paul, who I'm guessing has some legal knowledge here, says, I'm not up to date with the penal code, but I don't think the sex doll brothel would fly. Section 43.21 bans promotion of devices, including a dildo or artificial vagina designed or marketed as useful primarily for the stimulation of human genital organs. I wonder, though, like, what if I went... Like let's say, and I'll save this for Beth, but what if Beth had a sex robot in her shop and I wanted to test drive it, but I had to pay $20 for her test drive? Wouldn't that kind of be a way to get around all this? I'm just kind of curious. I'd take it in the back.
But I don't know if it would be legal.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Maybe she knows these things, and we'll ask her when she comes on.
Is she on today?
Yeah, she's on today.
Okay.
She's on like in a few minutes, actually, next segment. But like I could take it in her back room, test drive it. Maybe have a conversation with it, some champagne, you know, and then pay her the $20 for that. Actually, have to be a lot more than that, I would guess, for a test drive. But I'm just curious. You know what? I'm going to take any calls away. Let's take Jason because he has an interesting question about this.
Interesting.
What's up?
Sports.
Sports.
How's it going, guys?
Sports.
So I've got a question we ask around basically, we do a lot of barbecue cook-offs, so we ask a lot of questions late at night. So my question was out there, I heard you could get your wife scanned. So if you got a sex doll, you had your wife scanned, and it was made just like her, and she decided one night that, hey, she doesn't want to give any up, you take it out, throw it on the bed, take care of business with it. Would that be considered cheating? If you had one at all, would it be considered cheating?
Now, we've sort of had this conversation, like, with clones, right?
Yeah. See, if I don't think a clone's cheating, then I damn sure don't think a sex doll is.
Yeah.
It's just a prop. It's the same as a woman having a dildo, as far as I'm concerned. And if they want to attach a full human doll to it, okay, I don't care. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's cheating. I mean, I'm not saying my wife would be happy about it.
Well, that's the thing. It basically comes down to what your wife says. If your wife says it's cheating, then you can't do it.
Right.
But if she's cool with it, I don't know that my wife would be cool with that.
Oh, I can guarantee you my wife would.
Yeah, she's certainly anti-clone. I know that. Fake John McClane tweeted at you.
Did he?
Heard you were looking for a fight. Is grappling allowed?
Of course.
There you go.
Of course it is,
you
John.
And fake John McClane.
I'll fight fake John McClane. Not real John McClane, but I will fight fake John McClane. I'll beat his fake ass.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESP is your number. 713-780-3776. So this was one of the Gym of the Day candidates. I just thought it was the most Canadian thing ever. It's like when we protest here, you know, we get loud and, you know, do all kinds of stuff. Well, apparently several business owners are upset because they're going to allow streetcars and motorists to, they're going to put a train on the street in front of their businesses. So to protest this, they basically set up a street hockey game.
Okay.
And played street hockey and would not let the cars through because they don't want a streetcar in there. That was their protest. Oh, let's play hockey. Like,
okay.
Yeah, shouldn't you have like bats and stuff?
That's a dumb protest.
Yeah, it is. It's not going to work. So, yeah, that's probably was a good thing that I didn't do with him today. So, we didn't get to talk about the Alex Smith trade at all.
No.
I would like to get into that for at least a couple minutes here.
Get into it.
Before we get into sex with Beth.
I think it's a good move for Washington. I think it takes away the question mark of what you're going to do about Kirk Cousins. You get you get a serviceable quarterback, not a great one.
No, I trust him more than I do Kirk Cousins.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Kirk Cousins has more upside than Alex Smith.
But at this point, though, aren't you supposed to have reached your upside? He's been in the league long enough.
True.
I mean, he throws the ball around a lot more, but I think Alex Smith's a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Not so much that it's not like you're getting Aaron Rodgers over Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Let's be honest. But I would rather have him as the quarterback of my team at this stage of his career.
I mean, this dude, this year was, I would say, I think was a little bit down for him compared to last year. Last year, he threw for almost 5,000 yards. Cousins did.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild. I think the biggest problem for him this year was he got sacked 41 times.
Yeah, well, they had a lot of injuries on that offensive line all year long.
That's a ton of sacks.
But he also holds the ball too long.
Yeah.
And
But he's a consistent, you know, 65 to 70% completion guy. You know, he's going to get you close to 30 touchdowns with 10 to 12 picks. I mean, he's a solid quarterback.
He is. And I'm not saying he's bad by any stretch.
They couldn't justify paying him another year of the
franchise.
Yes.
No, it was getting ridiculous. And I think they've done what. I mean, this is a good move for them because now they're kind of out from underneath that. It's a good move for him because he can pick and choose where he wants to go. And if I'm him, I'm, you know, Arizona or Denver. I hear the Jets are going to make a big play for him.
Yeah.
I think he makes any one of those three teams better. I don't know if he makes them Super Bowl teams. Certainly not the Jets. But I think he makes those teams better and he gets to a place where he can win. And so I think it's a win-win for everybody. Now, they did have to give up a pretty good cornerback in the deal.
Yeah.
Did the Redskins. But you're getting a quarterback, the quarterback that's going to be your guy for at least the next 3 years. And you know he can win in the league. I like
it. And it's a win for Kansas City, too, because they don't have to cut him.
Right.
That said, well, I don't think much of the Patrick Mahomes thing. I think that's going to be going to be rough.
That's the big issue. That could easily turn into a nightmare. I mean, I think that could fail big time.
But I don't know. I'm not like the Chiefs. I don't know how good this trade is going to be for them long term, but I mean, I guess they've already made the decision on Mahomes. Like that
right.
was
well when you
they made it when they
you,
drafted.
Yeah,
him.
That is a decision that was made last year. So at this point, you got to kind of make room for him.
Yeah, and you do get a really nice player there with Fuller. So I think it's a fair trade in my opinion. But Alex Smith has got to be happy. He's not going to be looking over his shoulder anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, oh boy, if I have a bad game and we choke against the Titans,
right.
I get benched.
If the offensive line's healthy, he's got a decent offensive line.
Yeah.
He's got a couple useful receivers. You know,
I think he's got a pretty good offensive coach.
They run that West Coast scheme that's it will work for Alex Smith.
Yeah. It's not all that different from what he was doing with Andy Reid.
And he got a contract extension.
Yeah.
And he's actually getting paid pretty good money. I don't know if it's true, but I saw it was like $70 million guaranteed.
For 4 years, it's about going rate. That's pretty damn good. About going rate, though, for that level quarterback. 269 says, I'm just not a Kirk Cousins believer. His salary is enormous for being Kirk freaking Cousins.
Well, are you a believer in Alex Smith?
I am, yeah. I think you can win with him.
No one has yet.
That's not really, I mean, if you're talking about winning the Super Bowl, the Redskins aren't winning the Super Bowl. Get out of here with that.
Okay.
But, I mean, he's been a winner at Kansas City. And I think he's been a very good quarterback. Hell, he was playing at an MVP level for a lot of this season. So, he's had more success in the league than Kirk Cousins has.
Yeah.
In terms of winning football games.
Certainly. But statistically, not as much success.
Yeah, but you know how garbage I think some of those passing stats are.
Okay.
And it comes down to, you know, how many picks you throw versus how many touchdowns you have. 713-780-ESPN is your number. KCS, what are the odds Houston picks up Kirk and finally gets rid of Savage and makes Watson and Kirk fight for the starting spot this year?
No, 0.0.
Watson is not their guy, period.
They're not bringing in anybody to compete with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. No, Deshaun Watson is their guy. And now they need a better backup, but... And by the way, Kirk Cousins is going to get paid a bleep ton of money by somebody. The Jets will pay him $25 a year, you watch.
Yeah.
To have a quarterback that they can call a franchise quarterback. And I just don't know that he's that. To me, he's kind of a lesser Matt Stafford, in all honesty. Pretty good, but I don't think you're ever going to win anything with him. All right.
You know where you can win?
Yeah, I you know what I can tell you? Not only where you can win,
how much you can win,
but what you can win.
Yeah,
how about $3,000 tonight, guaranteed to first place at Lions Poker Palace. Tournament starts at 6:30. It's an $80 buy-in with a $20 seat rental fee. Unlimited rebuys for the first five levels. So if you don't get there at 6:30, you can go all the way until 7:45 before you sign up. These tournaments are terrific. There's a great structure. There's really good players there. It's a lot of fun. And in addition to being able to make $3,000 if you win, you're going to get points to go to the World Series of Poker. They're doing a great thing right now through Sunday, June 10th, where they're going to fly 10 players to Las Vegas in a private jet and sponsor them to play in the main event, $10,000 buy-in each. And you get points by playing in the Hold'em tournaments.
Which happen every night, by the way.
Yeah, and on weekends, too. So you get a point for every Hold'em tournament that you participate in. Three more each time you make the final table. So 30 guys with the most points, or girls, whoever, 30 of you with the most points, going to play a free roll. 10 of you are going to the World Series of Poker. The other 20 are getting $1,000 each.
Yeah, it's a great deal, a great promotion. I think everybody should take advantage of it. You're going to love this place. They've got tournaments 7 days a week, like we said, a full late-night kitchen, tables everywhere, TVs everywhere. Follow them on Facebook for all the information on their tournaments and events at Lions Poker Palace, or stop by and see this place for yourself. It truly is a palace. 6134 Richmond Avenue. You mentioned that you heard about them here on our show. You'll get your first 2 hours of play for free. 6134 Richmond Avenue for Lions Poker Palace.
And we're back on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. And Beth Liebling is here with us, and we were just doing some philosophical discussion about things
that we probably hello,
can't
everyone.
Do on air. How are you?
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. So now it feels like a real hump day.
I have two questions for you right off the bat.
Yes.
As a lawyer, too, you can probably answer this. We were talking about these sex doll brothels that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
Is there, like, let's say you had a sex robot in your shop. Would it be legal for me to come and say, rent your sex doll for, 10 minutes and go in the back room and then test drive it and then bring it back?
I think those are sort of going to be a prostitution. I don't think that's going to be it. The argument, but I think that it would turn my shop into what's called a sexually oriented business, which I'm not right now. Hmm. So I think that's right. There are different categories.
Okay,
for
so
businesses
let's
and stuff
let's say you opened a second business where it had said robot, and I could come and rent the robot.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting claim. And I think legally, in fact, I tell some of my lawyer friends, I think sex robots are going to be a huge niche legal market. There are going to be all sorts of claims because my guess is right now that the prostitution laws might not apply to them, but that they'll adapt them in some ways.
I don't know why they would.
Them.
They should leave us alone.
Well,
if we want to pay for sex robots, damn it. I don't want to buy one. I want to rent. It's like cars.
I totally.
If I don't want to buy the car.
You want a lease.
I want a lease.
I do not oppose you on this.
And of course.
I think prostitution should be legal, too. So that's
the value
just, you
goes
know, my
down.
Craziness, so.
Well, prostitution being legal is problematic because of sex trafficking.
Well, sex trafficking is a huge problem now. And
right.
In fact, I would argue it's such a problem. It gets me so upset. If it were prostitution were legal, we'd have better access. We'd have more control in sex trafficking, I think. Would be less significant instead of the whole industry being quiet so we can't figure out what's going on.
That's the same argument
the sex
with
sex trafficking. Yeah. Well, I'm with you there too. Yeah. I agree. But no, sex trafficking, it's awful. It's scary. It's horrifying. We need to do everything we can to change that. It's absolutely unforgivable.
I've always thought we should have essentially a red light district and then you have it legal, but everyone's licensed, they're tested, they're taxed heavily,
right.
And it's only in one
and
part
it's
of town.
Safe.
It's not
safe.
Near. You're not near schools. You're not near... grocery markets, whatever. But you're in a red light area where you have to be 21 to even get into that area. I'd be fine with that.
Exactly. I would be fine with that. And I just think that the more that we're able to see what's going on and the more transparent we make it, the better it is. I think the same argument with weed, when it's illegal, the kids would actually say that it was easier to get weed than it was to get alcohol. That's just terrible, right? Because everybody selling weed was illegal, so they didn't care if they sold to adults or kids. They were illegal already.
All right. Question from the text line for you. Ask Beth, can you go back into a relationship with someone that cheated on you? We both have cheated on each other and know about it.
Yes. Actually, that's a great question. And there is a book. If you email me, I would love to give it to you. There's a woman called Esther Perel, P-E-R-E-L. She's written a book about people coming back from cheating. And I know couples that have actually done really well because while cheating is wrong and it's harmful and everything, the fact is that it's usually associated with problems in the relationship beforehand. So if both partners actually own up and fess up and figure out what those problems are and are willing to move forward, it can actually be a very healing thing rather than just limping on with a bad relationship. So if you email me, just send it to beth@darlingway.com. I will find the name of that book. Otherwise, you can Google it and find out. But it's a great book. She's got a lot of wonderful things to say about it. But it does take a lot of hard work, a lot of forgiveness, and complete transparency.
And her name's Esther?
Esther Perel.
I don't trust a woman named Esther.
She's a Jewish woman. Family was involved, probably Holocaust survivors and stuff. Interesting background, but very, very interesting. We also talked a little bit about recovering from this.
Just kind of pee on my joke there.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. You know, sometimes I get so serious about this. This is a serious thing. I'm so touched that somebody is interested and willing and everything. So, yeah, you know me. I get carried away. But we talked about this a little bit on my show on Love and Laughter with Beth when we talked about sex addiction. And I had a woman on there who was still with her husband who had spent 20 years cheating and stuff with sex addiction. And they divorced, actually, and then got back together and now have a much stronger relationship. And it's pretty beautiful when people can actually overcome
that. How do you quantify sex addiction?
So it's funny. That's what we asked, right? Whether sex addiction was just an excuse for poor behavior. And so sex addiction, just like any other addiction, it's basically when something becomes so compulsive that you start overrunning your own values and judgments. So, for example, people with sex addiction might miss out on work because they're staying home, they're masturbating too much. They might be lying to somebody that they actually really do love and doing behaviors that they actually know are wrong and yet they can't seem to stop themselves. The same thing, compulsive overeaters, etc. With any sort
there.
Of addiction, right? When it takes over your sense of rational thought and you can't stop yourself. That's what it is.
Okay.
As opposed to just, hey, I think it's okay to be inappropriate and whatever, and it's no big deal and minimizing it sort of thing.
Three good questions for you from the text line.
Yeah.
Does Beth do couple sex therapy sessions?
So I am not a sex therapist, but I do what I call romantic coaching because I have a very pragmatic approach and a life learned sort of experience coaching people and dealing with their romantic and intimate issues. But then there's a line where if it's more physiological and all that sort, that then I know I have a list of great sex therapists that I'm happy to refer to. So, but right. No, I love to work with couples.
Ask Beth if you're, quote, talking to a girl right now, not in a relationship, with Valentine's Day coming up. Are you obligated to get them something? If so, what would be a good suggestion?
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. Because, yeah, Valentine's Day. I say tomorrow's February 1st. I think that's when everybody goes, oh, crap, it's gonna, you know, it's gonna be here soon. What do I do? If you're talking to somebody and you're actually really interested, I think it's nice to acknowledge it, but it's not good if you go too far overboard. So something little, if you're going to see them that day, setting it up so that they understand, hey, this is something I'm excited, I'm interested in getting to know you, but we're going to do something casual. Or if you see them the weekend before, just bring them one yellow rose just to say, hey, I'm thinking of you and I know this is going to be it, and make them feel special, but not like that you're taking this relationship way more seriously than what it is currently.
So like a German Shepherd would be too much.
I think a German Shepherd would be too much.
Okay,
and, you know, we talked about once on the show, right? I went on a first date with somebody who greeted me at a restaurant with, you know, 18 beautiful purple roses, and they were stunningly beautiful, but that was such an overt action that it made
stalker.
Me back off, yeah. Right? I just got scared. That was just too much. So I wouldn't do that for somebody you're talking to, but I think ignoring it is not good. It means you're not thinking of them on Valentine's Day.
I mean, how about just, like, go out to dinner?
Go out to dinner, exactly, but...
Like, that's the easy thing. To me, if you're just, like, kind of casually seeing someone, you're exclusively casually seeing someone, because that's the other thing. Like, what if you're seeing multiple people? You can't just like.
But if it's one person, you're most interested in,
I feel like you can skip gifts and just go out to have a dinner.
But I see differently. I think that gifts to me are not so much about spending a lot of money. Because I agree, if you're dating several people or even one person, but it's still casual, I'm not advocating for spending a lot of money. But I am advocating a little thoughtfulness and getting a little something, like I say, one rose or two rose or something, or flowers or
not dessert,
a little special dessert, but bringing something, I think, as an extra little gift in addition to just going out to dinner, makes it seem like you're acknowledging the holiday and you're thinking of them.
I'm
going to
tell you this.
Versus going out to dinner, it's just a regular date.
It's just a regular date, except you're the girl I chose to take out on Valentine's Day, which there's something significant attached to that.
But then it looks like you only go halfway. So I agree. If you don't
you only want to go halfway.
No. You don't want to go. You want to do whatever you're doing fully, but not overt. So in other words, you don't want to treat her like this is a long-term relationship with those 18, you know, flowers.
Right.
But you don't want to treat it like it's nothing. If you're in, do it wholeheartedly. And that's why acknowledging it with a little token is a way of saying, I thought about this. I was intentional about it. And you matter. So I did something, but I did something that's appropriate.
What about a mixtape?
Years ago, that would have been a lovely thing. Now, if there was a card that just played some music, you know, there are these cards that you open up and they play certain music. So if there was a certain song and this card opened and it played a song, that would be a lovely thing.
But
so
what
a
if
sweet
it's your
card
mixtape?
Well, then that could be.
Right,
yeah, there you go.
Well, I would just make a suggestion that if you're worried about being a stalker, anything that the guy does in any Weezer song, if you're doing that, you're stalking. Here's another question for you. My wife and I are expecting our first child at the end of April. Any tips on keeping the romance alive?
Yes, so many. Way more. In fact, we should do a whole show. Because my concern is I think that for most couples, the first divide in the relationship happens around pregnancy and the birth of kids. And it is painful because the birth of kids affects women and men differently. So I would say it's an issue. I actually have a book in the shop that I recommend to a lot of people. It's called Confessions of a Naughty Mommy. And it can help for men. They can read it and actually understand kind of what women go through. But our bodies change so much.
You guys are such a pain.
We're such a pain. But really, it's hard. I've talked about before, women were given two choices. We're either good girls or sluts. Well, when you're a mom, you're suddenly a good girl. And that wonderfully romantic, slutty, wild side of us, it's hard to reconcile that with the new mom. And you and I, AJ, you've talked about before how you treat your wife differently now because she's the mother of your children.
Yeah.
And you don't see her as that romantic, wild woman that she was before. Well, she probably doesn't either. But it's hard because we still really need to maintain that if we want that romantic relationship. So I would just say, I think you're wise to think about it. I'd love to talk more about it. And you need to just stay on top of it. And understanding is a big thing.
If your girl wants to have sex four times a day, is that addiction? Wears me out. No, that's luck, sir. And, you know, you count yourself lucky.
Well, that would be so, but really it depends. Again, is she missing work? Is she expecting you to miss work? Is she doing it in inappropriate places? Because there is this
fun.
Wild side. Yeah, it is fun until it's not fun, right? That's the problem with addiction. It's like, it's all fun until somebody ends up crying or in trouble. So, but if it's just a new relationship and she's just in total lust after you, then I'm all for it. You know, if it's morning and you take a lunchtime break and it's after work and it's before you go to sleep and that's cool, that's great.
Okay, as a follow-up, you say if it's a new relationship and she's totally all into you, why does that have to end? It always does. Like, they'll be really into you for, 6 months, maybe a year, and then it starts slowing down. I mean, why can't you keep that? Why can't you still be into each other four times a day?
Well, I think four times a day probably just gets to be a lot of almost anything.
I mean, your balls start to hurt. Like, it's a...
It's all right.
I mean, if you had barbecue four times a day, this is what I told you when you were doing your barbecue hunt. If you did that all the time, it seems like anything, even ice cream or the same cookies four times a day would get a little tiresome after that long. But I definitely try to encourage people to keep spicing it up, but so do something differently. And bring something new home. You know, I think every Thursday people should be getting ready for the weekend and have some new little romantic show or prop or scene or something they want to act out and costume, wig. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I punched a clown in the downstairs bathroom on Thursdays. That's my special night.
Okay, but...
Tell people about the show.
But I think there are better ways to do and to maintain that and stuff. So, because, God, everybody loves that lust. It's awesome.
What are you doing on the show Saturday?
Okay, so last week I was in Vegas, right, for the ABN, for the Adult Video Network and the Porn Awards and everything.
Did you see Ron Jeremy?
No, he was not there. I saw him.
He wasn't
the
allowed there.
He wasn't allowed there. Apparently he ran into... Right?
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, which is weird because I wondered about it. But anyway, last year I saw him all over the place. But so this Saturday on Love and Laughter with Beth, I've got a male porn star that's going to be on the show. So I am so excited to talk to him.
I mean, we've done the show once before when Evan was here, but I guess I will do it again.
Oh, really? You want to be part of it?
Oh, I thought you meant you were. I thought you were asking me to be on.
Oh, yes, yes, to talk about your experiences in porn.
Yes,
that would be awesome, AJ. I would love that.
I want to know. I've got some questions for him.
Yeah,
That you should ask him. I want to know, when was his confidence in the size of his penis enough that he felt like he could do porn?
Okay.
Does he worry about how his penis looks before it becomes erect on camera? Like, does he have shame there?
Uh-huh.
Like me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to know if he takes the shots, because I've heard that, like, porn stars will take shots in their penis. Which to me is terrifying.
Ow, right. That would be awful.
Right, but it's like mainlining
Ooh.
Viagra.
Ooh. Yeah.
So those are what I want to know about.
Okay.
I'm just curious because, no offense to male porn stars, but almost any guy in a lot of these videos, it can be any guy, right? Because you're just, especially when...
You don't care about the guy.
Right, you're showing the woman, and all you're basically showing is a penis in most of these videos. At least the ones I have seen, have heard about.
Well, in a lot of the videos, like if you look at casting couch porno, the guy's head is always blurred out, like he's the casting agent.
Like nobody knows his tricks. Yeah, nobody cares about what the guy looks like in a video.
So I don't know, but this guy happens to be tall, young, smart, well spoken, handsome, cute. It's pretty interesting. So I don't know.
I just know on Pornhub, if you have a big one, you're fine. They don't show anything but your thing.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to go check out some of his flicks now. I'm kind of excited about it.
Just what
this,
I heard. Now,
yeah,
I
got to do some research.
Could be really
I am
going
to have
this.
To do some research.
I'd also like to know what's the grossest thing that's ever happened to him in a scene.
Okay.
Has he ever done male on male? I'd like to know that. Or, like, has he done a threesome where two guys were in there and was there crossing the streams involved?
Yeah. Did they touch dongs?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will. I know he's done a lot of very niche work. So he's done BDSM stuff where femdom and stuff, which I know is not your thing. So, no. But I'm excited. But he's done other as well. And so I'm interested in how he made that transition from one to the other and stuff. So,
all right, yeah, tell people about the shop.
So, the shop is Darling Way in the Heights, 3423 White Oak Drive. And like I said, Valentine's Day, plan ahead. We're getting new stuff every day, and really we can help you like make this. I just think everybody should just score big on Valentine's Day. I'm really excited for this. So please let us help you make this good, make it happy, love lots. And on Valentine's Day, we're going to probably partner up with Makeout Bar. Do you know Mar Frailes?
No.
You know the Makeout Bar in River Oaks?
Never heard of them.
Oh, it's the hottest. Oh, I can't believe it. Guys, it's the hottest Makeout Bar in Houston.
A Makeout Bar?
Oh, it's a total Makeout Bar?
Why would I go to a Makeout Bar? That sounds hideous. Who wants to do stuff in public like that?
A lot of people.
Well, really?
A lot of people. And we're going to go play sexy trivia there, I think, on Valentine's Day.
Are you going to make out with anybody? Will you be overwhelmed by the atmosphere?
I would love to. I don't know.
And just,
You know me. I don't do random, you know, makeouts. And
you don't do random makeouts, but you love the idea of a makeout bar?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, because I love going...
You're such a phony. You're like, oh, it's so great. Unless it's me. And then
No. You didn't ask if I've been there before. When I have somebody that I want to be making out with, I love it. I love Marfa.
If you have
awesome.
Someone that you're making out with, make out on your own house.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
Well, no, if you're just... No, it's totally different.
If it's going to be a makeout bar, it should be a place where strangers meet and just make out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you could do that. I'm just not into that stranger part, but there's something about...
Right. The other way, that should all be... Like, if you got a relationship going on, do that at your house. Don't bring that out in front of everybody. We don't need to see that.
Well, okay, then you wouldn't go there if you don't want to see it. But some people like to see it. It's
fun.
Well,
I guess that's why you have a bar for people who like to see it.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why I've never heard of it, so.
But if you've only been on, like, a few dates and you actually want to make out, but you don't really want somebody to go back to your house and something, too, it's pretty awesome.
Well, that's what your car's for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, this is way more comfortable. This couches and stuff, way more comfortable.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dude, with video cameras and everything running
no
around now?
No way.
Oh.
This is a bad idea.
Yeah. All right, thanks,
Jeff. All right, guys. Shopping for electricity rates, it's not an easy experience. Everyone knows that. Tri-Eagle Energy knows it, too. They're trying to make it easier for you. This is a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple, fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. They've got an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks. There's no surprises on your bill. In fact, you're even going to receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. Talk about no surprises. They got you covered. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. It'll lock you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. What are you waiting for, guys? It's an easy decision you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064. Let's talk about Robin. Last February, Robin was a manager at a place that didn't invent the chicken, but did invent the chicken sandwich. Now, Robin is 7 months into his IT career. If you hate what you do, don't be a chicken. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation right now. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. You can attend classes on campus or live online just two nights a week to get everything you need to start your new career. Daytime classes are also available, but it's more than just a school. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the career evaluation now. Free. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Actually, the more Beth was explaining to me about that place, it didn't sound so bad. Just saying. Hey, you know what matters?
Soccer matters.
Soccer with Glenn Davis at 7 o'clock tonight. And so that's coming up. You know what else matters? sportsmap.com. Check it out. Follow us on Twitter at sportsmap HOU. Let's squeeze in a quick call and then we'll get to Des because we've got a little time here. Dustin, What's up?
Sports.
Sports.
How's it going, Mark? What are the odds that the top three American League Cy Young contenders are on the Astros team? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, boys.
0%.
I wouldn't go 0%. I would go 0.00001.
I'll just go with 0%.
There's going to be some other guys who are pretty good out there.
And, I mean, if they've got the top three in Cy Young voting, they probably went like 130-32.
Yeah.
And that's pretty unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would be a shock if Verlander and Keuchel are contenders again. I don't think Gerrit Cole's Cy Young material, but I could be wrong.
They would probably be the favorites.
Like if
you had to pick a team and say, like, which team would the Cy Young come from, the Astros would probably be the favorite.
If you were to pick a team to say which one will the home run leader come from, the Yankees would be odds on, I'm pretty sure.
They would be probably a favorite.
Yeah.
Well, Cleveland might be a favorite, too, in that. Cleveland and Houston would be close.
Stanton and Judge?
No, I was talking about the Cy Young.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about for...
Oh, home runs. Yeah, that's not going to be close.
Yeah. All right, now let's do deaths. And this is how we end the show on Wednesdays, where we celebrate those who have passed away. I have not looked to see if this is a good death list, but it's looking okay. Paul Kantner in 2016, American rock singer and guitarist from Jefferson Airplane, dies at 74. 74 for a rock person.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know this guy. Do you know Joseph Francis Joe Alasky?
That's the guy who...
Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck.
Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem.
Died from cancer at 63.
That's pretty good for a cartoonist.
Billy Powell from Lynyrd Skynyrd, dead at 56 in 2009.
So he survived the crash?
Yeah, he must have.
How did they do that? Like, how did half the band die?
It was a good half.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
The important half.
Sports figures, Rasul Butler.
Rasul Butler, he just died.
And his wife, yeah.
Like, died, was it today?
I think it was today or last night.
Yesterday, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Ken Saylors, the professional basketball player who popularized and may have invented the jump shot, dead at 95.
He may have popularized it. I invented the jump shot. Little known fact.
You're not 95 years old.
No, but I'm also not dead.
That's true. Not yet. 2010, Tom Brookshire, American football player and sportscaster, dead at 78. Solid run.
So far, this is a really horrible death list.
Yeah, I'm trying to hope. Okay, how about this? I got two animals. 2007, Barbaro, American racehorse. Remember Barbaro?
Yeah, that affected you.
No, I didn't. mainly because I had the winner in the Preakness when he broke down. So, not that I was rooting for it.
Of course
not.
You wanted him to lose the race, not
die.
The race.
Yes, right, not the race of life.
Right.
Okay, I've never heard of Zelda Modi Peterson, the famous pug. This is getting bad. All right, let's try this. About Edwin H. Armstrong, U.S. radio inventor. He invented FM.
I thought Marconi invented the radio.
Yeah, I've never heard of this guy. I guess he supposedly invented FM. He died of suicide at 63. Okay, this one you might have heard of. Orville Wright, U.S. aviation pioneer.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead in 1948 at the age of 76.
Would you say the better or lesser Wright brother?
Oh, no, I like Wilbur.
Okay. Better Orville, Wright or Redenbacher?
Redenbacher.
Yeah. Popcorn's delicious.
Of course it is. All right. Let's see how here are our best deaths. Hopefully. Okay, wait a minute. Jong, you have Mahatma Gandhi under a porn star.
Whoops.
Actually, now I want to see that. I want to see Gandhi porn.
Well, that would be good.
1948, Mahatma Gandhi, India's political and spiritual leader, was assassinated in New Delhi by Hindu extremists at the age of 78.
Damn shame.
Is that a good death?
That's pretty good.
Okay. How about this one? 2014, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yes.
The only Hoffman more famous than you.
And Brown will get you every time.
Dead at 46. Suspected drug overdose. I think we know what that was.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah. 2013, Chris Kyle, American sniper.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, that was a bummer. 1979, Sid Vicious.
The whole
Sex Pistols.
I told you, the Brown will get you every time.
Heroin overdose at 21. 1963, Robert Frost, American poet.
The Brown again?
I don't know. He was 88, so I'm going to guess probably not.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, he won 4 Pulitzers. 1959, Buddy Holly.
Not the Brown, though.
No, died, what got he him. Died in a plane crash at 22. And I guess that Weezer song, I look just like Buddy Holly, mainly because I'm dead.
You look like Buddy Holly because you look like you were in a plane accident.
Well, yeah, that was kind of what I just said. That's all right.
OEO.
1924, Woodrow Wilson, 28th U.S. President.
Heroin again, right?
Dead in his home at 67. All right. Now we have our porn stars, not Mahatma Gandhi. Because I looked at it, man, that's kind of a cool name for a porn star. That would have been all right.
Usually, I've changed it up.
Hold on,
the
let
last
me type this
weeks.
In on Pornhub.
don't do that.
It's got to be there,
nothing
right?
Nothing popping up.
No, usually I put the bestest at the bottom, but now I changed it in the last couple of weeks where I put the porn star at the bottom because we finished with the porn star.
Yeah.
And I accidentally put Gandhi at the bottom.
Oh, man.
That's on me.
I like how Jong said we finish with the porn star.
Yeah. I can just see it now, though. I am going to be your spiritual leader, and I am going to also want to be your physical leader. Oh, come to me.
That's like, what's the, like the Bikram yoga guy?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Well, he's such a perv. Gondel and Gandhi was quite like that. He did wear a diaper, but he wasn't like a...
Oh, you're going to look at my diaper now. All right.
It wasn't Bikram level.
No. Oh, you're doing the yoga with me. Oh. Downward facing dog, my favorite. All right. 2005, Karen Lancome, porn star, died from
heroin. It's the theme of the week.
Yeah, I'm probably going to give you points. You had a lot of possible right answers here. Committed suicide by drug overdose in 2005.
Yeah. Does it say likely heroin?
It doesn't say.
Okay. But it probably was.
Mm.
We all know that.
281 says maybe if the FM creator had heard the blitz, he wouldn't have killed himself. Oh, maybe he would have. We might have driven him to that.
It's possible.
Yeah. UH Cincinnati tonight. Do you have any thoughts on that? I know it's too late at this point.
Yeah, they're in it quite a bit already. I don't know. I don't know. This is a big game for UH. They could really use this. The conference is so good, and you know Cincinnati's in. You know Wichita's in. I think Houston and SMU are both good enough to get in. But UH could use a solid road win to kind of push them over the edge. This could do it.
So far, so good.
Yeah, big lead for them.
40-26, 208 to go in the first.
I think that win, especially because Cincinnati hadn't lost a conference game yet, that win at Cincinnati, I mean, barring some sort of a total collapse.
Yeah, I think they need to get one from Cincinnati because they play them twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to beat SMU. And Memphis, and I think that probably gets them there.
Yeah, someone asked me the other day about UH, their odds, and TCU's odds. And TCU, man, if you'd asked me this 3-4 weeks ago, I would have said they're a lock. But they have zero good road wins. They've kind of melted. There's a lot of teams. Aggie's another one.
Yeah, they've fallen apart.
Texas A&M, TCU, and Baylor, all three were so good early on, non-conference. Baylor's
that.
The worst team in the Big 12.
Man, I was watching that Baylor-Florida game over the weekend, and it was just, man, this team is not good.
Yeah.
But I think SMU and TCU kind of have similarities. They both lost key players.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a little bit interesting for SMU moving forward.
It's an uphill battle for SMU now, I think. That's a...
Yeah, I think, looking at the rest of Houston's schedule, if they can beat Cincinnati once, beat SMU at home, I don't think they have to beat Cincinnati both times. And they've got, at Temple's a tricky game, but you should win that. You got Tulane, East Carolina, you're going to win those. Two more games with SMU, so split with them, split with Cincinnati, beat UConn at home, you're in.
To me,
I think
they've won the two toughest games you can play on an AAC schedule. They won at Wichita. If they win tonight,
they won at Houston against Wichita. SMU won at Wichita.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
they lost at Wichita. They got blown out at Wichita. You're right.
And then they came.
They
back
won at Wichita here, or they won against Wichita here. This win at Cincinnati, if they can hold on and win this game, that's big. That puts them in. That puts them in the driver's seat because now you've got a win over both the best teams in the conference.
The Providence win isn't as bad now either.
Nope,
that's turned into a pretty good win. So
the LSU loss doesn't look as bad now as it did. So they UH is they're in I think UH is in pretty decent shape.
Yeah, if they can, they just
you need... know what loss looks really horrible now? They lost to Drexel early
in
the season.
What the hell was that?
And Drexel is bad, not like just mediocre. They're really, really bad. And the Tulane loss is pretty ugly too.
Yeah, although that one I kind of saw coming. That was during the freeze. They got there like right before the game. Although that's not a tough trip. That's not
no, but
it's
it
not
was...
a good enough excuse. I thought they wouldn't cover the 11. I had no idea they'd lose the damn game. And I thought they were looking ahead to Wichita State, too. But those are bad losses. But I think if you get a win over Cincinnati, at UCF is going to be ugly because UCF plays defense. That's all they do.
UCF, I think they'll beat. The UCF is a
but then,
talentless.
Then you got, like I said, two games left with SMU. Win one of those. Beat Tulane the second time around. Win at Temple, Memphis. I think the UConn game at the end of the season might help you a little bit because I think they're playing better. But I, if you can get this win tonight, I don't want to say they're in because things can fall apart. But I
they
like
should
their chances.
Be in.
Yeah. Plus, it'll only be a game behind Cincinnati for first in the conference. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Well, fun show today. I enjoyed it. I hope everybody else did. Jong Lee, A+. AJ Hoffman, A+. Solid C+ for me. Till tomorrow, stay sporty, bitches.